Our text for this evening's meditation is from Romans chapter 5. These words, "For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." That's Romans 5:19. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the fact that death came to mankind by the act of one person, by Eve, and then Adam, it can be a head-scratcher. How can so much destruction be caused by just one person? We can become skeptics here, doubters, enlightened individuals who reject such quaint notions out of hand. And that being so, we can walk away from the idea. We can walk away from the idea that the death of mankind, of millions and billions of people, 184,000 around the world every day, 7,653 every hour, 128 a minute, 2 every second, is caused, ultimately, by just one person long ago. But then we can move on to reject the idea that one man, and that is Jesus Christ, can bring life equally to all, to millions and billions of people. I mean, how can that be? How can that be? That each person can somehow rise to the occasion and grasp the teachings of Christ individually, well, that can be understood. But the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, bringing righteousness, his justification to all, like the actions of Eve and Adam brought death, how could that be? How could that be? Of course, we could bring up infamous figures of history, individuals, single people who caused massive destruction, the deaths of thousands, even millions of people. Here we can think of the individual Genghis Khan, or Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot. And on a lesser scale, we can think of terrorists like those who brought down the airliner over Lockerbie, Scotland, killing 270 people with one bomb. School shooters with assault rifles. Summer camp rampages with knives, shootings in stores, shootings in bars. We personally have not ourselves done any such things. We haven't caused harm to so many people. In fact, it's hard at times to think we've done any damage to anyone besides ourselves at all, in any way. But we have, each of us. Luther poses a question in the fifth chief part of Christian doctrine, the small catechism, that's confession, it used to be the office of the keys. Luther poses the question we're to ask ourselves to see if in fact we have sinned by hurting someone else, another person beside ourselves. Here's the question: have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? You might remember that from the catechism. Hot temper, being rude, quarreling. Most would have to say that we've been there. We've done that. Especially when we were younger, learning, growing, making our way in the world. But hurting someone with our words? We may have done that on occasion, saying something we should not have to another person. But what if we've said something that has hurt more than one person? Like the gossip we helped to spread through the school we were attending, around the office where we were working. What if what we have said has caused legitimate harm, not just to one person, but to many people? I think we'd have to agree that we all possess the potential nowadays with a couple of lines of text, short YouTube video, a tweet, to wreak havoc all over the world. Very short amount of time. Yes, in ages past, duels would be fought. People would fight to the death about one statement that another person made about them, and hearing about that practice nowadays of saying something about another person and being challenged then to a duel to the death. We can think that people of the past were way too sensitive about words and sentences and speech in general, but then we ourselves have witnessed what happens when one person says one thing and it spreads across the internet so quickly. We're all capable of doing the same thing. And this capacity for harm on our part should then allow us to grasp the profundity of the simple act of Eve and then Adam. Eve listening to Satan. Adam listening to Eve. And the havoc that ensued upon the entire human race up until the present day. But then we also could be overwhelmed in awe. In awe by God's response to that havoc. By God's response also in the action of one man, in the God-man Jesus Christ. If we can admit that just one person can cause so much death and destruction, even ourselves, we must embrace also the idea that one person, just one person, can bring so much life and recreation. I have come that you may have life, our Savior Jesus taught us in John chapter 10. I have come that you may have life and have life abundantly. That's life that doesn't end, life that goes on, life that's eternal. And how does this life of the one man, the God-man, Jesus, come to us? God sent his Son, we read in John 3. God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him, that's the Son, is not condemned. He who believes that Christ is the Son of the living God. The Apostle John summarized the gospel he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, summing up all that John had written about Jesus in that gospel. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life. Life in his name. As through one person death came into this world, so through one person does life come into this world and continues to come into this world. As through his words, the words of Christ, not like our words that can and do hurt those around us, the words of Christ are the words that help us. The words of Christ are the words that bring to us the forgiveness of sin. The words of Christ are the words that bring us peace that passes all understanding and hope of a future life, and that bring us the words of Christ, the encouragement and strength to love even those who consider themselves to be our enemies and who wish to persecute us. In this way, these words of Christ are like the constant updates. They're like the constant updates we get on our computers and on our phones. Updates that rid our computers and phones of viruses and give our computers and phones new capabilities and the abilities to continue to function in this world. You know, I used to bemoan back in the day how horrible it was, how horrible that people wrote computer viruses and released those viruses across the world through software. I mean, how horrible was that? And what made it even more diabolical, that is, devil-like, was that the people that would suffer from having their computers infected with those viruses, the writer of the virus didn't even know. I mean, some guy would write a virus in France and it would cause havoc in Japan. Havoc, the writer in France of the virus, did not even witness. So we just had to have the satisfaction of the thought of causing such havoc. Well, the software companies, the computer companies eventually caught on, and not being driven by altruism or by a love of humanity in general, they began to work actively against such viruses, and what is more, work to improve their software constantly. Why? So we continue to use their computers and phones, and now with online shopping being what it is, it's even more vital that our computers and tablets and phones are constantly updated, and so they are. They are. So they function. What a wonderful example of how the Holy Spirit works within us. Using the words of Christ constantly to assure and strengthen us so that we can live from day to day to day. Yes, Satan, like with Eve and Adam, would do the opposite with this word and that comment, that idea, like spiritual viruses leading us away from our Savior Jesus Christ in our minds. Our Savior must counter in our hearts and souls and minds with his daily spiritual updates, exposing the lies, exposing the troubling ideas, exposing the concepts of Satan and eliminating them and replacing them with the truth of the hope that is within us through faith in Jesus, which displays itself with our loving service to our neighbor. This is our new life. The life we are leading in Christ. The abundant life that we can lead in Christ, who saved us from the power of the devil with his suffering and death on the cross. Satan himself being judged by that death. What can he do? He can't do anything but flee, but acquiesce when the thoughts, the viruses he'd bring to our minds to truly mess up our lives are confronted by the very Word of God, the Word of Christ, our Savior. Our text again, for as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing our canticle.